Let us pray. Gracious God, you plant the seed of your grace in our hearts and among us as a people, and your word accomplishes what you send it for. It bears fruit in our faith and our changed lives. So we open our ears to your word, we open our hearts to your spirit, and we open our mouths to sing forth your praise. In the name of Jesus, amen. From the Old Testament, a reading from Isaiah. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish the purpose I give it and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of life. Thanks be to God. From the New Testament, a reading from Romans. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit prays in us with sighs too deep for words. And God, who knows everything in our hearts, understands, because the Spirit speaks for God's holy people according to God's desire for us. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. For God has chosen people from the beginning to share the image of the only begotten, so that Christ would be the firstborn in a large family. And when people are chosen, they are called. And when they are called, they are made right with God. And when they are made right with God, they shine with God's glory. So then, here's what this means. If God is for us, who could be against us? God did not hold back the only begotten, but gave Christ up for all of us. So trust that God will also give us everything else. Who will bring any charge against God's chosen ones? Since it is God who justifies, who has the power to condemn? Our judgment is in the hands of Christ Jesus, who died, and yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is on our side. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or poverty or danger or violence? As Scripture says, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are looked on as if we are sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus, the Beloved. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from the Gospel of Matthew and reflect with some questions. Jesus put before them another parable. The realm of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Imagine God's grace as a tiny seed in you, a tiny seed among all of us, growing great. Where do you see those seeds bearing fruit in your life? Where do you see it in this church? Jesus told them another parable. The realm of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 bushels of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. He told them nothing without a parable. Imagine all of your life, even the plain, heavy parts, are leavened with God's grace. What does that feel like? How does it change how you see those parts of your experience? Jesus said, "The realm of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in her joy, she goes and sells all that she has and buys that field." Imagine buying the whole field of your life and everything in it because God's love is hidden there. Your whole life, even the hard parts. What might you have to embrace to really own your life? What might you have to give up to sell all you have to really possess your life? Again, Jesus said, "The realm of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." What is that one pearl of great price for you? What is the one thing you treasure the most? Are you willing to give up everything else for it? Again, the realm of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the realm of heaven is like the householder who brings out of their treasure what is new and what is old." When God's grace enters your life, it leads you to make new choices. What are the new things you are called to embrace? What are the old things you need to let go of?
The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.